Everybody doing all right? Everybody ready for your day? Did everybody have a day off tomorrow? We're talking about people that don't have a day off tomorrow. I was one for years that didn't have a day off on Labor Day. That was the weirdest thing. Like, you celebrate the labor force by making you come into work. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, boss. Appreciate it. I honor you because I have to, in Jesus' name. Right? So, I pray everybody has an amazing day off tomorrow if you have a day off. And if you don't, I pray God would redeem that for you. I'm being serious, right? All right. So, Father, we look to you. Help me to give this word out succinctly and the way you would have me do it. We thank you, God. We exercise our ears to hear what your spirit wants to speak to us this morning. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The title of my message this morning is called Hope Restored. Everybody say hope. Restored. So we are living in some, as we said multiple times, this is some crazy times that we live in. And one of the effects of these crazy times that we live in is discouragement is at an all-time high around the people in our nation. And depression and anxiety and all those things, that all these mental things that are going on in our world, they all of these things that we've been through and all the things that we are experiencing in our world, they have effects, right? In many ways, it's mental. In many ways, it affects how we think. And people are looking for hope. People are looking for something, or they've just given up on hope, right? And so people are in this place where it's really, we're living in a time of hopelessness. Like, can things really get better? On even a national, but also an individual area. Really, that's where we want to zero in on your individual. Is there hope that things will get better for you? So hope is simply this. It's a condition. It's also the name of our church. Praise God. It's a condition of the heart believing that through a time period, there will be a good resolution. So there's a lot of things packed into that, right? So hope actually has to do with there's time allotted to this. Hope is not just instant fix, right? Hope just in the idea and the definition of hope has to do with a time period happening and then a resolution happens. So, but there's hope that there is a resolution coming. Hope says things are going to work out for good, for your good. Hope is a confident expectation. So think about your life. Think about your hope level. How is your hope level? In this right now, in this room where you sit, how is your hope level? How is your faith level? And here's something how do you react to people that have hope and people that have faith? I don't know about you. When I go through times of feeling like hopeless and like things are bad, like people with hope, like they kind of annoy me. How many of y'all are with me? Like, I don't even know, like, how you can have hope. Like, are you serious right now? Like, oh, it's growing great for you, right? But they have hope, right? So how do you react to people who talk with these hope and faith terms, right? Let me give you a list. How confident are you that your life can get better? That your kids will come to Christ? That healing is available and will happen for you? Where is your hope that you won't be broke forever? Where is your hope that financial debt, is a temporary thing? That you're not bound, how many of y'all hope that this financial struggle is not going to last forever for you? How many of you have hope that you don't have to live in, that you won't live in this place of depression and anxiety? Where is your hope? Well, I got good news. If you're right now in where you sit going, if you're honest with yourself and you go, really, I don't have a whole lot of hope that things are going to get better. I got good news for you. Your hope can be restored. Your hope can be restored. And some of you, even when I said that, you go, I'm a little bit nervous about entering into hope again. It all depends on who you have hope in. Right? Because there's safety in your hope. Right? All right, so this world is tough, right? If there's one thing I've learned after living for God for the last 30 years, 30 years of serving God, 30 years of being flat out for God, there is one thing I absolutely know for sure. There is a portion of Scripture that I am absolutely convinced of. I don't need to work up my faith to it. I know it. I know that Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. I have found that to be true. In this world, you're going to have trouble. We don't live in this world unopposed. That is a huge thing to realize and understand. You do not walk and live in this world unopposed. We live in the world, right? We talk about the enemy, right? The world, our own flesh, come on, our own weird desire, our own weirdness about ourselves, right? The things that we want to do that we shouldn't do, right? The world, the flesh, oh, and then tack on the devil with that. Notice that there's three. The world, our flesh, and the devil. We are opposed, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're opposed on every level. How about that? It rhymes. So maybe you need a breakthrough. We were praying over these prayer requests. Actually, we moved four more over to the answer this week. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. That's an amazing golf clap here at... We moved four prayers that were on that side that God answered and brought over here. So, thank you. So, do you believe that things can get better? Do you feel stuck? Let me tell you the truth, that hope is the first step for you to step into what God has for you. It's the beginning to step into hope. I can hope. All right. So how are we going to get from hopelessness? And it's okay, let me just say, it's okay to be hopeless for a moment. It's okay to recognize where you're at. Right? It's good. Remember the first time God promised Sarah that she was going to have a baby when she was older, her first reaction was to laugh. But somewhere she changed. Right? And she stepped into faith, Hebrews 11 says. So, all right, let's go to Psalms 42. We're going to stay in the Psalms this morning. The psalmist says this, "As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go to stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food." Some of y'all can. "All of my enemies taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing with joy and thanks amid the sounds of great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." He continues, "Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you from the distant Mount Herem to the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life." The scripture says, "Why am I downcast, O my soul? Put my hope in God." So the first thing that we need to know about hope is that hope is not just hope in hope. hope is only found in God. Hope is in, man, I really wish. You know, we used to say, Kenneth Hagin used to always say, it's not just, I'm just wishing and a praying, wishing and a hoping. Right? Where is your hope? Notice that in the beginning of this psalm, he says, now as you read the rest of this psalm, you can see that this psalm, actually this psalmist is not David in this place, but this psalmist is in a tough spot. Like after the very next scripture, if you have your Bibles out, if your very next scripture is the sadness and depression and more of the same, he is in a tough spot. I love the reality and the realness of scripture. I am about to be overwhelmed, right? This is what this psalmist is saying. Everything seems to be going bad. Matter of fact, everybody, all these unbelievers, they're mocking me because I'm a trusting in God person. How's that working out for you? You know, the servant of God, right? Some of us, we know that position. We know that state. But he says that I will hope in God. It's not just hope crossing my fingers, knocking on wood. It's not just that. No, my hope is in God. My hope is in Him. And if I don't, here's the rub. If I don't know Him, I can't have hope. So your degree of how well you know God will be the degree that you can live and walk in hope. So this psalmist knew that in all of this trouble, in all of those difficulties, that psalmist knew that I'm going through all this trouble. And it just comes out of him. He says, as a deer pants for water, so my heart longs after you, God. He was wise enough to know that in my trouble, in my difficulty, that what I need, what I long for, is not just some good luck, not just a little rub, a little rabbit's foot. It's so that I trust in Him. I need God. And so much so as a deer longs for the water, so my soul longs after you, God. In all of the trouble, in all of the turmoil, it's interesting that that's how he starts this psalm of trouble. That he recognized that I need God. So, as I began to think about you and our church body, and I read some of the things as we were reading some of the prayer requests over there, and a lot of them had to do with breakthrough, and really, I wanted to lift your faith this morning and over the next couple of weeks, and build your faith this morning. That things don't have to be the same forever. Right? They don't. This is not the end of your story. This is not the end of that part of your story. What you're going through and all this stuff. So beginning to wonder, I asked my wife, we were sitting on our back porch, and actually, it was amazing. I love my wife. I love that my wife is led by the Spirit, because she said, I felt like I was supposed to come out here this morning. And I went, that's good, because I was really kind of contemplating these ideas and these thoughts about overcoming and, you know, faith and building faith. And I said, I was just starting to talk about just wondering about difficulties. And my wife was so good. She said, what did you do in your life when you were going through some of that stuff? And I went, oh. So some of you know a lot of some of my story. So when I was 16, as some of you men understand, like that's when you need your dad, like in different kind of way. You're, you know, I'm I'm not a kid really anymore. I'm trying to learn how to be a man. I lost my dad when I was 16 during that time. My mom was so distraught, she kind of just, no fault, but she kind of abandoned me, for lack of a better word, and said, like, and not said, but in her actions, like, actually, she sent me to a Christian school to fix me, quite honestly. Maybe that'll work, right? But that was fine. But it had its effects, we'll just say that, right? My own battle of addiction, personal battle of addiction, my own battle for self-worth, all of these things. So when she asked me that question, so David, what did you do to overcome all those things? And it just came out of me, didn't it? Well, I was just sitting on the, I just, when it's you, you just know. And the first thing I thought of, actually, as she's still asking that question, the first thing that before I could really even process exactly, I knew that this thing, the first thing that popped into my heart, was the one thing that holds all of the other principles together. It was the foundational thing. That without this, there's no hope. There's no change. There's no freedom. There's no healing. There's nothing. And it's, let me tell you what it's not. It's not just mental knowledge. It's not even understanding the principles. What it is experiential understanding. I'm going to say that again. What it is experiential understanding. Understanding of what? This is the foundational thing of it all. It's simply this, that I am loved by the Creator of the universe. I'm a dearly loved son of God. And that love has no limits. It has no qualification. It has no restriction. I am loved regardless of how well I love him back. I am loved regardless of how well I follow his commands. I am loved by God. Scripture says that in that last scripture we read, he says, but each day, in verse 8, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. Each day. Actually, when the tide and everything's coming against you, when all of the world is raging against you, the scripture says that God pours his love, his unfailing love on you. That word, I've taught it before, but that word is hesed. The faithful love of God. Let me just say, that understanding of God's faithful love, that word hesed, will radically change everything for you. He will send his faithful love. See, when I struggled in addiction till my 30s, he loved me. When I battled all of my self-worth, and that turned me into a selfish husband, he loved me. When I felt like a failure and I felt worthless as a man, his faithful love covered me and was there for me. And when I learned and started believing that he really loved me, and his love for me was safe and more loyal to me than I could ever even think, that's when my freedom started coming. See, it's loyal. Hesed has to do with loyal love, faithful love. You know who's loyal? My dogs. Now, they're not obedient, but they're loyal. They're loyal. Like so much so that I have scratches on my door Because when we get home, the dogs are up there so excited that we're home. Like, the dogs are like the greatest. I mean, they're different than cats. Let's just be honest. Cats don't give a rip. Actually, cats are a little annoyed when you're back. But your dog, man, you open it. Like Julie will get home, and I'll be inside. Julie will get home. They have like bionic ears because they hear the car from miles away. I'm still pretty sure they can hear the car as her drives into the neighborhood, because they get all excited and they're at the door. They're waiting, and like literally have to push them back so I can open the door. So they'll rush out there and go greet Julie. And the same with me. They're so excited to see me. They're like, I don't care what you did. I know you spanked me the other day, but I'm so glad you're here. I'm so happy. Your dog, their tails go, you know? And when you have big dogs, their tails are knocking stuff over. They're so excited. That's loyal love. God's loyal love is for you. Isn't that amazing? Like the story of the Old Testament. Yeah, it's the story of Israel's complete failure to really walk in what God had them to walk in. Right? Let's read the Old Testament. If you think the Old Testament is like God's success story, you have read it wrong, because you need to reread it, because it is God's, like, you know what it is? You know what it really is? The story of God's loyal, faithful love. His faithful love to a people that would reject him. Continue to pour out his love on them. And it culminates with this moment that says, for God so loved the world, that through all of, even though all of their nonsense before, God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus, so that we might have everlasting life. So undeserved. That's loyal love. And that loyal love doesn't stop. See, loyal love, what that has said, what God's love does for you is it gives you a safe place to fall. Like when you fail, has said the loyal love of God is the safe place for you to fall into his love, because he still loves you. I got you. Right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. It says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He remains faithful. Oh, yeah, you know, now God will allow us to completely destroy our lives. 100%. Through our own actions, through what we do, in our own choices, he will absolutely let us destroy our life. But you know what he is? He's faithful. That when we want to return, he's faithful. He doesn't give, he's not like a lot of us, like what we want to do. Whenever somebody wrongs us and we want to go, you know what, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to give you the silent treatment for a minute. Some of us spouses, we do that. Oh, what, really? None of you do that? You guys are holy. Like the silent treatment, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I forgive you, and I'll stay in the house with you. We're not going to talk for a while, right? God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He doesn't give us the silent treatment. When you return to God, he didn't go, hold up just a minute. I'm still not through being mad yet. Right? He doesn't do that. He forgives immediately. And receives you immediately. Right? He doesn't give you the hand. He's right there. He's loyal love. This is loyal love. Psalm 33, verse 20. It says, we put our hope, everybody say hope, in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And then he says, let your unfailing love surround us, Lord. For our hope is in you and in you alone. Listen, if you don't understand God's loyal love to you, I would challenge you that you are not walking in the hope that's available for you. God is faithful. His love for you is faithful. It hasn't stopped. It's, oh yeah, it's undeserved. And it's unearned. But he's always there. His loyal love, faithful love, is always there. And we're called to walk in the hope that God's given us. But we can only, like I said, we can only walk in that hope as if we know him. We know him. So you may be in this, in a place this morning where you just say, I've lost all hope. I've lost all hope. I would challenge you. Do you know where you need to run to? The psalmist knew that as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. So my challenge for you this morning is, where are you running to? Are you running to the streams of God? Or are you just floating down with the rest of it? You know, we talk about certain things. We talk about how the idea of, you know, we Christians are so good at criticizing people, aren't we? We're just really good at it. Like you need to stop binge watching stuff, right? You need to stop drinking so much. You need to stop blah blah blah. You need to stop. You know what the truth is? We need to re-remember where our source is. Now, I'm not telling you not to binge watch stuff. I'm as guilty as everybody else, right? But it's, where are you finding your source for hope? If you're doing some of these things to numb the pain, then that's not your source. So, and then we say, well, you should be reading your Bible. You should be praying. You should be hanging out with other believers. Well, yes, to all of those things. But why? So you can check it off your list? Is that the reason? Because that's the way I was taught. You're supposed to read your Bible. Why? I don't know, because you're a Christian? Really, that's the best you got for me. I'm supposed to pray. Why? Because you're a Christian. You're supposed to. Really? Why? No. You know why it's important for me to have a daily time with God? Because sometimes this world zaps all the hope out of me. And I need to run back to him to find hope. Not so I can check something off a list. Because I'm reminded when I read the Psalm 42 that every day he floods and pours his, while the world wants to flood us and pour on us all this junk, I'm reminded that God wants to pour his love, his unfailing chesed, without restrictions, without anything else. He just wants to pour his love on me. And through that, I can have hope. That I'm reminded in the scriptures that if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm reminded who I am, that I am a much loved son of God. I'm reminded that no weapon that's fashioned against me shall prosper, because God's word. I'm reminded that I can have hope because I know him. And his stuff and his commands are not burdensome, because I know him. So when the Bible says hope in God, it's not just this ethereal idea. No, I can have a confident expectation that things are going to go well because I know him. And even when things go bad, I have a confident expectation that God will sustain me no matter what, because I know him. And the greatest thing about getting older is that you start remembering time You know what I have because I'm now 53 and I've been living for God flat out for 22 years, 32 years? Whew, that's another decade of what? Of God's faithfulness. I recognize and I've seen God move time and in time. I can look back and say, hey, God's faithful. So that's when you have people like Rick and Linda Willoughby who've been serving God. Let me just say crazy faith. These guys walking in crazy faith has seen God move. So you people that have been serving God for a couple of five years, and you're like, I've seen God move some, go talk to these guys. God is faithful. His love for you is faithful. Now, were there times in my life where it didn't look like it was going to work out? Yeah. Yeah, totally. All the more reason. So that changes everything, right? Let's all stand together. That changes everything, right? It changes why you come to church. Because if you're not going through it, somebody else is. Right? If you're not going through it, there's other people that need to hear your voice of hope. Bow your heads just as a time just to be in solitude, just you and him. For no other reason, just you and him. Your hope can be restored this morning. Your hope can be restored this morning. And it begins with knowing. Hear this. You are loved by God. Regardless of what you've done. And his love has no limits. His love has no qualification. His love has no restriction. His love for you is not dependent on how well you love him back. You're not loved because of how well you follow his commands. Those should be responses to your love for him. Those should be responses for his love for you. You're loved by God this morning. Come on, right where you are. There's people in this room right now. I sense it. I sense it and know it. That your knowledge of God's love for you has been under assault. You felt like that I haven't lived up to what I needed to live up to. And because of that, the enemy's gotten in and lied to you and said that you're not worthy of his love. How could God love me? My friend, that's a lie. Maybe you're in this room and you need to come back to him. You said, I just need to come back to him. I have put him on a shelf. Maybe it's that same place that Julie talked about under the steps in that little room that nobody ever goes in, or in that closet that nobody ever looks in anymore. Just dust all over it. I want you to pull that back out. God's loyal love is for you. No matter what. Right there where you're at, I would just challenge you with, not going to repeat it after me, but in your own words, just tell God, I receive your loyal love for me. I receive your loyal love for me. I thank you. It's not dependent on me, but it's who you are. Bible says that the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Would you ask the Lord to draw you back to Himself this morning? That you may know and understand the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge. You know, in Romans 8, it talks about that love is what's going to cause you to overcome. Your knowledge and understanding of the love of God will be the thing that causes you to overcome. Thank you, God. Just say it out of your mouth. Say, I receive the love of God. Say, thank you, God, that you love me, regardless of who I am, regardless of my performance, that you love me. Say this, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, bring me revelation of your love for me. Jesus. Just receive it right where you're at. Just receive it. By faith. By faith. Receive it by faith. The love of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, we ask your hope would arise in us. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about hope. There is hope. Things don't always have to be the way they are. You don't have to struggle in addiction. You don't have to struggle in your sickness. You don't have to struggle in your anxiety. You don't have to struggle in your depression. You don't have to struggle in your mental world. There's healing and hope available for you. You trust Him? You trust Him? Some may trust, Scripture says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. Name of our God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, God, we love you this morning. We thank you. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you, Father, that as we go, God, I pray that we would share your great love for us, with the people around us. God, I pray as we go this week, we go to our place of employment, we go to the people around us. Father, I pray that we would be just catalysts of your love everywhere we go. God, help us to see people the way you see people. God, help us to see ourselves the way we see ourselves. And God, would you meet us this week? Just reminded. God, would you meet us this week in our prayer times? God, would you meet us this week as we look into your word? As we carve out time for you, I thank you, God, that you meet us and you encourage us. We love you this morning. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. Just say it again. Say, I am loved by God. Do this. We used to do this at my other church. Say, point to the sky and say, God loves me. Say it again. Say, God loves me. And the God in me, now point to somebody else, loves you. Do it one more time. Say, God loves me. And the God in me, point to somebody else, saying, loves you. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, amazing week. Happy Labor Day.